Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, folks. You're all very welcome back to the Talking to Terrace podcast on Celtic Fanzine TV. And if you haven't subscribed to the channel, please hit that subscribe button. Hit the alarm so you never miss an episode. Give us a like and leave a comment, please. A positive one, hopefully. Folks, I'm joined today on the podcast by Dan Orovich. Dan has been with us before. He's proved very popular. He's our man in Japan. We didn't have him on a couple of weeks ago because we left him on his holidays. Even though he popped up on Sky Sports and a few other channels. But we said, Dan, we will leave you and we'll get you after the boys make their debut. If they make the debut, and what a debut they had. Dan, you're very welcome back to the podcast. I know you were in holidays, so just fill us in a little about your holidays and the news in Japan when it broke that three players were heading for Europe.
Well, it's good to be back. Happy New Year to you and to all your listeners. It was some holiday. I took about four weeks off, went back to the States, did a week off in Vegas to sort of recharge my batteries, and then went on to visit my family. And I told myself, I'm not going to watch any football to the greatest extent that I can. And I think the whole time I was there, I watched the second half of the League Cup final, and I watched the final of the Mexican Women's League, and that was it. That was the only football I watched, except for the American kind, because I went to see an Eagles game. And New Year's Eagles Eve, fly Eagles fly. You know what? We got to the playoffs. We'll take it. And then New Year's Eve came, and chaos, and the best kind of chaos, a happy chaos, but the timing, the Celtic front office certainly knows how to make a dramatic New Year's Eve happen. That was a party, brought the fireworks early. And it's been all, you know, downhill since, and it's been great to re-engage with Celtic fans and engage with new fans and tell you about the three fantastic players that you're getting. And, welcome to the big show, Daizen Maeda, Leo Hatate, and Yosuke Idaguchi. I mean, what a performance that was on Monday.
Yeah, Dan, I want to rewind first, because how we met through the medium of the media was when Ange Postecoglou, a manager who I have to admit, and a lot of Celtic fans didn't know a lot about, we reached out to you to get the lowdown on him. It proved actually our most popular broadcast on the YouTube channel last year, and also was in our top 30 in the podcasts from we started off 2 years ago. So definitely there was a lot of interest in Ange Postecoglou. You come in for a bit of criticism from some Celtic fans saying, oh, blah, 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 blah. They were kind of going, oh, you know, he's blown smoke up Ange's ass and so forth.
Yeah.
Now, we said the proof will be in the pudding. Ange has now made jumpers popular. in Glasgow. He's brought crew neck jumpers back into fashion. This man can do no wrong. We love him. Men, women, children, love him. And you never said one word that wasn't correct about him. You said, just watch. You told us about the style of play, the football he played. And we thank you for that. But he's had some up and down moments. He's had some, I suppose, poor results, a couple of draws. And he was very light coming into the break with personnel. We called up some young players from the B team, but they were ready to slot in because he had them training. And I spoke to him at a press conference, and I said this to him. I says, the importance of the B team now playing the same system. And he says, no, the importance of the B team players training with the first team so that when they are called up, the intensity is not a shock. And you spoke about all these things. So how do you think, what's your thoughts on Ange's first, let's just say, his half-term report?
I don't want to say that he's sort of excelled. He's surpassed expectations, because I think, as you know, from what I said and from what Australian media and from what J-League followers said at the time, we had very high expectations of Ange. But I think we were certainly measured, and we did urge patience. We urged, we urged everyone to trust the process. That was the whole thing. And I think Ange has proven that when you trust his process, you are rewarded. And that reward comes in the form of silverware before Christmas, a very attractive style of play now at Celtic Park, and some amazing signings that have done massively well, not just on the pitch for the club, but off the pitch for the club. And he's delivered all that in half a year. So I think you have to give him straight A's. I think that even if you're grading him on a curve, even if you're grading him really at the bottom of the curve, you have to say that he has done everything that could have been reasonably hoped of him and more. Obviously, there's still more to go. You're still 6 points down, or three points down as of listening. Six. No. Time is a flat circle, but.
Well, we're actually four now because Rangers dropped points.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Okay. Sorry. Should I go back and redo that so I don't sound like such an idiot?
No, you're fine.
Time is a flat circle is what I'm trying to say. But the point is, doing pretty well and still plenty of season left to play. And if Celtic play as they did on Monday, going forward, the sky's the limit. And I think that we all knew going in that if Ange has time to build his team, the sky's the limit. And I think that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, and we also had you on when Kyogo signed. I remember it was a lovely sunny morning. Today's a bit sunny, but it's cold. It was a lovely sunny morning, and I was having coffee when the news, because the news broke very early. Nobody knew he was signing. They had been, kept very close to Celtic's chest, because we'd been linked with about 10, 20 players a day before, and most of them bullshit. But Ange signs this player. I'm straight onto you. We get you straight onto the show, and we get the lowdown on him. And again, we get, this guy's just, Japanese football. He's just talking this and that. I then got on to a good friend of mine who lived in Japan for many years, Baz, and he told me that Kyogo had played with his local team and when he was starting off, and he was high end quality player. Now he hit the ground running when he came in, and those who were saying blah 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 were certainly not saying, were certainly eating their words. And then he's had a few injuries, but he comes back for the cup final. And it's the King Kyogo final. So again, I have to thank you for giving us the heads up, because everything you said came to pass.
And I'm so happy to have gotten the chance to do so for you and for the podcast and for your listeners. I understand that there will always be you know, people say, oh, you know, Dan's just, you know, J League fanboy, you know, that I'm obviously pushing sort of a certain kind of agenda. And yes, you know, it's been my role as a fan, as a blogger, as a Twitter user, as a writer, as a journalist, you know, that's to promote the J League and Japanese football. And this has been an amazing opportunity. And now that y'all know I'm right, you know, we're not, you know, I'm not going to rub this in anyone's faces. I mean, I will a bit, not yours. You knew it was up from the beginning. But really, I hope the takeaway shouldn't be that I'm right. The takeaway should be that, you know, the Japan's producing some amazing players, amazing managers, amazing teams. I'm glad that y'all have gotten to enjoy Kyogo and that you'll hopefully get to do so for a few seasons to come. And ideally, you know, with Daisen Leo and Yosuke coming in, you know, you'll have plenty more to look at. And in a month, the J-League is starting up again. So you'll have plenty more players to take a look at and start putting your Christmas lists together. Because, I mean, granted, at this rate, we're going to run out of amazing players under the age of 25 pretty soon. But, you know, I'll tell you, there's much, much more where they've come from. And we're all just so excited that the league and Japanese football is getting this sort of exposure.
Yeah, and is Scottish football getting much exposure over now because of the influx of the Japanese players and the Ange factor?
I mean, certainly Celtic's getting the exposure. If you look at their Japanese language Twitter account, which they launched in July after Kyogo signed, it is now at 45,000 followers, which I believe puts it, I think it's still ninth among European clubs. Maybe it's getting closer to eighth, but that's all in half a year compared to clubs that have been working on their exposure in Japan for 3, 4, 5 years and more. So to get that many followers in half a year is a pretty good sign of how much of a reach Celtic has. And I said this in my column at the start of the month. If and when Celtic decide to go to Japan for a friendly, do a preseason tour, I don't know if that will be able to happen in this summer because of, you know, as you may know, there is still a pandemic going on. If it can't happen this summer, it can't happen this summer. If it happens next summer, that tour will print money. They can put those games in any stadium in the country and it will sell out. Nissan Stadium, 72,000 seats, it will sell out. Novair Stadium in Kobe, I actually don't remember the capacity, but I think it's close to somewhere between 40 and 50,000. It will sell out. Kawasaki Todoroki Stadium, 24,000, it will sell out. You know, those will be some of the most amazing games that Japanese fans have seen for a long time. The atmosphere is going to be incredible. And I feel pretty confident in saying that right now. I think that from the marketing perspective, from the promotional perspective, Celtic have just gotten started. It's one thing to do a Twitter account and to engage in social media. It's another thing to engage with sponsors, to really get marketing programs going, to establish yourself in a way that, say, PSG have with their, two stores in Tokyo at this point. Manchester City have a big following. They just ran a live pre-match show, like a half-hour program, on one of the biggest sports news portals in the country before one of their games over the weekend. You know, Liverpool, which has, I think, the biggest supporter group in Japan as far as Premier League clubs go. So there's a long way to go before you're hitting that level. But Celtic not only have the benefit of the historical association with Japan through Shinsuke Nakamura, and that has sort of established it as the big team in Scotland as far as Japanese fans are concerned. But now you have four of the best players in the country and a manager who was universally loved here. So if the club can take advantage of that, if the club can get its marketing and promotional arm together to handle that, and do keep in mind, Japan is not an easy market to conquer. Asia as a region is not an easy market to conquer, because you can't take a one-size-fits-all approach, and you have to be considerate of each country's needs and each country's cultures and customs. If Celtic can do that, they can absolutely establish themselves among your Liverpools, your Manchester Uniteds, your Arsenals, your Bayern Munichs. You know, those are all clubs that have gigantic footholds in Asia, and Celtic are well positioned to become one of those.
Yeah, it's interesting when you say now, you know, Celtic playing in Japan. That will be some away day, Dan, that I'll have to start saving now for, because that I won't be able to get a cheap Ryanair flight to that one.
But oh no, no! If everyone listening puts you put a pound a day in your piggy bank, maybe £5 a day. You will be, by the time it gets to next summer, you will be able to have one of the most amazing trips of your life. I say on many levels that we look forward to welcoming you, just because not only will it be an amazing atmosphere, but it will mean that we are past this whole thing and that life can get to normal, because we are still in a pandemic. Our borders are still closed. It's not like Europe or the United States where things are opened again and you can go if you're vaccinated. I believe Japan had 920,000 foreigners enter the country last year. I believe that was the number that just got released, and that's down from the 31 million that entered in 2019. We had 300,000 for the Rugby World Cup alone when we hosted. So I do hope that we are in a position to welcome the madness that is, Celtic fans on tour in 2023, because that will be a very special experience on a number of levels.
And there'll be plenty of rice wine drank as well.
Absolutely. You know, the Rugby World Cup was special. I remember, it's been a while since we've had a team come to Japan and really bring tens of thousands. And I think the last time that happened would probably be the Club World Cup in 2015, when River Plate fans came, and I think about 30 or 40,000 of them.
Wow.
And you can't beat South American clubs coming for the Club World Cup from Brazil, from Argentina. It's always just a sight to see. But I'm sure that Celtic fans, if you start saving now, you'll be able to top that in a year and a half.
Well, Dan, if that was to come off, a trip to Japan would certainly be on the agenda for many of us. It would be a once-in-a-lifetime chance. But for now, we'll have to enjoy the new Japanese boys. I was there on Monday night. First of all, when the team was announced, the first thing we were looking for was the new signings. Two of them were starting, one on the bench. We looked towards the bench and we thought, wow, how strong is our bench tonight compared to when we finished up before the winter break? So, got to the stadium. There was a good buzz. There was some TV crews out and around, and, you know, it was nice to see some friends, wish them Happy New Year. And then in the stadium, you'll never walk alone. And I think the Japanese boys, they must have been impressed, because they certainly got out of the blocks fairly quick. A dream debut for Rio, but his name is pronounced Rayo, I'm told by my Japanese friends.
It is Rayo. It is, look, the R is hard to get, and I think that's sort of, it's funny because I've now lived here 15 years, and now I roll all of my R's in sort of in the Japanese style. So now I can't do like the hard R, like in the States, which is weird, but it's just Rayo Hatate. It's fine. Yeah, that's totally fine.
Because he lived in Japan for such a long time, and he says, you know, it's very respectful to get someone's pronunciation of the name correct. So he was quick to me. He said, it's not Rio, as in the Duran Duran song. It's Rayo.
Yep.
So I'll stick with that. But he was man of the match. His passing was very good. His awareness on the pitch. Now, for a player who I was lucky enough to attend the one of the media press conferences with him, and he looked so bored. He looked as disinterested in. In fact, he looked like he was going to go to sleep at one stage, right?
Yeah, I mean, I watched that video, and I did comment on it. This isn't, you know, I don't think it's the fan media's fault. Yeah, I don't think it's the independent media's fault that it just wasn't a format that was really suited for that. You know, it's sort of, I think, as I tweeted, I think everyone needs a bit of grace. And hopefully the Celtic media team have learned to maybe do it one player at a time and...
Yeah, and give those asking the questions a chance to, to ask a couple of questions. Maybe, you know, it was kind of one I went and it was kind of like, this isn't going to smash viewing records.
Yeah, I mean, the interpreter, I mean, we don't like to rag on interpreters too much, but, you know, if you don't have a good interpreter who's really on top of their game and understands everything, and especially I think it was a remote interpreter. So I've been at news conferences with foreign players or coaches, and if the interpreter is right next to them, you know, they can sidebar, they can say, oh, did he mean this? No, he meant this. And when you don't have that, as we did, and I experienced this covering the Olympics, it's awkward. And if you guys as media aren't used to that, It is really difficult. So it sucks, but that's just sort of what it is.
Yeah, we had an interpreter in for when Abada signed, and the translator just couldn't get the Glasgow accent.
No, couldn't. I mean, I've been talking to you guys for six or seven months now, and I'm still, you know, sometimes I just have to listen along and do my best, but and it's not easy. You're essentially translating between three languages, so. Yeah.
But they someone did comment, you know, he looked bored, and I said, well, let's hope he does his talking on the pitch, and he did. It was an amazing debut, and I remember Nakamura's debut, and his debut was stunning as well. We were really talking about him after that game, and like, he just looks like a player that, like, I had Matt McGlone on the podcast. Matt's a fanzine and editor, and he's been around a long time, and Matt was saying it looked as if the players had been playing together for months rather than weeks. They were just so in tune with the system. Now, I know Maida had played, you know, with Ange before, so Ange, you know, he knows what it's all about. Mm-hmm. But I really thought Rea was really, really good. And then, you know, all the talk probably before it was of Maida, because, you know, everyone loves a striker, everyone loves a goal scorer. Mm-hmm. And what a dream start for him as well. First touch of the ball, you know, and the ball could have been the other end of the pitch. Hibs had a great chance at the start. Ball goes up, and, you know, forced, and you can see Ange giving it. He's giving it loads on the sideline.
You don't leave Daizen Maida in that sort of space. You're just, it's just, I'm just looking at that clip, and it's like, what were Hibs doing? You can't do that. You can't give him a meter of space. He had half the pitch all by his lonesome. He could have, like, set out a chair and read a book and waited for that pass to come to him. And you can't do that. He is, as I've just a natural born killer. If you give him that space, he will hang you with it. It is just brutal. He's not, you know, he's not the kind of player like a Hatate, for example, who will take the ball and do something fancy and just sort of weave through five defenders. He will barrel through them. If you give him space, he will turn and he will take the shot. He is a finisher. And, you know, it was a very, in that sense, it was a very appropriate goal for Daizen to start off his time at Celtic, because that's what you can expect from him. If defenses do slack up, if they do not treat him with respect and fear, he will punish them.
And the other player that made his debut come off the bench was Gucci. Now, we probably didn't see enough of him to make judgment. So I'll just kick off with him. Can you just tell us a little bit about what type of a player we can expect from him when we see more of him?
I think he, as you saw Bazin and Leo are more attackers. They're more sort of, you'll see Rayo all over the pitch as you did on Monday and going forward. Itaguchi, I know everyone has adopted Gucci. I'm going to keep saying Itaguchi just because I'm still not used to it. But
call me Gucci.
He did. And I think that almost took us a little by, not surprise, but it's Gucci is more of the defensive midfielder. He is the presser. When the opponents get the ball, he will pressure them. He will force turnovers. He will get the ball. He is the first line of defense, in a way. And in that sense, he is very well suited for Ange's style because it is that sort of high pressing. They're not sitting back and waiting for opponents to bring the ball into the home third, into the defending third, and then forcing the turnover. They are trying to depossess the opposition as high up as possible. And that is what Gucci excels at. So I think that he will work. We were sort of surprised. I know that there were some sort of fitness concerns and injury concerns in central midfield. It was almost a surprise that he didn't get his start and that it was Hatate who got the start instead. But it does show the fact you've got a player this good with this much potential on the bench is scary. Which you alluded to earlier. When was the last time Celtic had a bench that strong? The fact that if and when Kyogo comes back from his hamstring injury, do you start him or do you start Dyson? And does it really matter who you start if the other guy is on the bench?
It's a wonderful headache to have for Ange.
No, it means that you're not just if an average sub adds a player, a player's worth of output when they come on, you've got a player and a half coming on because those are both dyed-in-the-wool starters. And you can bring, if you're bringing Daizen or Kyogo out for 20 or 30 minutes and just telling them to go balls out, that is a game maker. That is a game changer. That is someone who can absolutely alter the course of the match. So we'd like to see Gucci get more starts eventually. But even on the bench, that's a scary weapon to have when you need to close out a game and you need someone who can contribute on behind the ball and also, create something in the final third.
Music to my ears. Dan, and just, we'll go to the other two players. Now you've touched on them. Rayo, as I said, a great start. Now, all these three players, and Kyogo, are Japanese internationals. And one question on all our lips is, because we're hearing different reports, we're hearing there's a friendly coming up, but they won't be called. It'll be J-League players. But then we're hearing it's not coming up because of COVID. Then we're hearing the competitive games. They'll all be, in contention. Can you just fill us in on the dates for these games? What the situation is, because what we're hearing now is if we could have Carter Vickers with America, we could have Tom Rogic with Australia, and we could have our four Japanese players out. That's six players. I think you need to have three out before you can cancel a game, and the game in question could be the Rangers game. So, could you just give us some clarity, because I'm hearing mixed reports and probably reports from people who are just picking up stuff on social media.
Let me start with, I don't think that you're not going to have all four Japanese players called up. As we are recording this, I guess it's Wednesday morning over there. It's Wednesday night over here. The squad will be announced on Saturday afternoon here in Japan. So that's in less than 3 days, in less than 72 hours, I guess, in 64 hours, as the crow flies, they say, we'll know what's up. So the original plan was that Japan was going to play a friendly against Uzbekistan on Friday the 21st. And the squad for that was all J-League players. That's how it was planned from the start. It was established as just a way for Hajime Moriyasu, the head coach, to see some new faces, to just see how, you know, players who he didn't really get a chance to spend time with over these last couple of years for various reasons looked. And so that's the camp that he's working with now. He's mostly new faces and a handful of, and the J-League based internationals, players like Yuto Nagatomo, Hiroki Sakai, Yuya Osako, or not Yuya Osako, I'm thinking of, actually I am thinking of Yuya Osako. Sorry, there's been a lot of transfer moves over the last few months, and names start to blend together. But yes, Yuya Osako did go to Vissel Kobe over the summer. So Moriyasu is just working with players like that, and then some fringe J-League players, young J-League players, even players who are potentially in the running for Paris 2024 in terms of that under 23 competition. So that game was supposed to happen. It is not anymore because the government would not allow Uzbekistan to enter the country because of COVID precautions. The squad will be announced on Saturday, the 22nd. And then the World Cup qualifiers, which are being allowed, will take place. I believe it's China on January 27th, which is a Thursday, and Saudi Arabia on February 1st, which is a Tuesday. So as far as the four, Kyogo's call-up depends entirely on his injury. Right now, just based on what we're hearing from Ange, doesn't sound good. I've always said from the start, if Kyogo is healthy, if he can reasonably be called up, he will. Right now, as we record this, it doesn't look like that's the case. So I'm pretty doubtful that he will get called up. If Kyogo doesn't get called up, that does improve the odds of Daizen Maeda being called up. Where are we at in terms of a percentage? You know, I've said 30 last week, could be, you know, 35, 40. I think his stock's gone up. I think, especially if Moriyasu has seen his performance for Celtic. So the question is, does Moriyasu have enough options at striker that he doesn't need to call up Maeda? And the answer is, I'm not sure. To be completely honest, I'm not sure. But I think treating him as a 50-50 selection isn't out of line. Hatate, you know, I think his stock went up with Monday's performance. I think that Moriyasu would like to call him up, but I'm sure that Celtic are saying, well, if you're not going to play him, like, we don't want you calling him up and risking, you know, and dealing with the travel and the potential risk for injury just to have him ride the bench or just to not even include him in the squad. The JFA, the Japan Football Association, does have an office in Europe. They work pretty closely with European clubs to deal with call-ups, to make sure that everything's smooth. They do want to maintain these relationships and make sure that the players are happy and that the clubs are happy. So where that goes, it's sort of hard for me to say. I would peg Hatate's odds at maybe 25-30%. I wouldn't say he's a sure guarantee by any stretch of the imagination. But if he did get a call-up, I wouldn't be totally surprised, neither should anyone listening. And Idiguchi, I just don't think he's in the picture right now. It's not enough that he was, you know, moved to Celtic. He's got to perform. He's got to play. He's got to get minutes. So that's where we're at. I think that Kyogo probably out, Maeda 50-50, Reo 25-30. If that answers your question.
No, it does, because it's just one that's been going, it's few people have said it, and like, there's so much happening. Just sometimes you just get confused.
There is, you know, and it is, again, because like, I know, like, I tweet something and then everyone loses their mind. And I hope that over the course of everything, I mean, we have our fun I have my fun with Celtic fans. They have their fun with me. But I've always said from the start, I'm not going to bullshit you. I'm going to give you my opinion. I'm going to tell you where things look like they stand. And if they change after, I mean, they change after. It's a, you know, it's football. There's moving. There's 22 moving parts on the field, and that doesn't even count off the pitch. So this is a very unique situation. Japan needs these wins more than anything. If Japan wins these two games, we are probably going to the World Cup, and that will be of great relief to just about everyone involved. But they are not easy opponents. You were talking about late January, early February at Saitama Stadium at night. These will be the first full capacity games the national team has played since 2019. Definitely the biggest crowd that the national team will have played in front of since pre-pandemic. And those fans are all going to be masked. They're not going to be allowed to cheer. No singing. It's going to be weird. But the players all know what's at stake. So it's going to be a really interesting set of games to watch.
Dan, great information from you, as always. I'll be watching the announcement of the squad with great interest. Hoping our players are not called up. Hoping Kyogo gets fit. But just you know, in the Japanese setup, when Kyogo's fit, is he ahead of Maeda?
Yeah, I think right now, yes. Those of us who have followed the national team, we've said for months that Kyogo should be ahead of everyone. In terms of the depth chart. We don't think that Yuya Osako should be the lone striker up front. You know, it shouldn't be, you know, Minamino just doesn't quite have it. I think that Kyogo should be the face of this national team heading into the World Cup if we qualify. I think that he has the skills. I think he has the character. I think he has the ability. I think he has the potential. I don't know if Maeda is a World Cup starter yet, but if he keeps up this form, if he keeps up his 2021 form at Celtic, he should be in the squad when November rolls around. I think that he's definitely got that potential.
Well, we will listen and watch with keen interest. Dan, you're just before I let you go, you're heading off to the Winter Olympics, I believe.
Yeah, that will be in Beijing for, I guess, the first sort of half of the Olympics. So I will miss the Derby, assuming it goes on, assuming that, you know, Celtic aren't short half a dozen internationals and have to reschedule. I'm not 100% on what the Premiership's rules are, but hopefully... Actually, I'm not sure. I think it'll be 3:35 in the morning in Beijing. So I will sadly probably have to watch the highlights. But I do look forward to hearing what goes down. And it's going to be interesting to cover this after covering the Olympics last year. And going to be weird, but exciting. And looking forward to it.
Dan, thank you so much, as always, for your contribution and your knowledge of the J-League and the Japanese players that we've welcomed to Celtic. And they have been welcomed. There's been a great feel-good factor. They've, and I'm sure they felt very welcome on Monday night when they saw so many Japanese flags in the crowd.
I'll tell you, you know, you're singing... You'll Never Walk Alone before game. Sooner or later, it's going to have to switch over to our national anthem. I should say Japan's national anthem, not mine personally. But it's only 30 seconds long. It's one of the shortest national anthems in the world. It's not that. It's not too much to add on. But no, it is seeing Maeda walk on, and seeing the giant Japanese flag being waved behind them. I think the fans here love it.
Fabulous image, isn't it?
the fans love it, and I think that football fans here are very appreciative of the love and respect for the Japanese game that Celtic fans have shown, and we hope it continues. It's just good for us to see it, especially in these times, and we hope that all four of those players keep getting it done.
So do we. Folks, thanks very much for watching. Thanks to Dan. If you're watching on YouTube, please hit that subscribe, follow, and the alarm button so you never miss an episode. And if you're listening on audio on the Celtic Soul podcast, please hit the subscribe or follow button on your preferred platform, be that Apple, Spotify, Acast, Podbean, or whatever one you're on. Issue 119 of More Than 90 Minutes is now available, but you can visit our website, CelticFanzine.com, where you'll find all our news, daily articles, and how to purchase the fanzine, both digital and in print format, for use old-timers like myself. And if you want to support us, you can do so visiting the website, where you can donate for the price of a pint. So, folks, once again, thank you to Dan. Dan, I'll leave the last word to you.
Oh, you're killing me. I didn't have anything prepared for this. I guess follow me, Twitter, Aishita Tokyo. Follow the Japan Times at JT_sports. And do get ready to follow the J-League. We open in about a month. I think the season starts, the Super Cup is on February 12th, and the season starts on the 18th or 19th. So if you like what you've gotten, we've got plenty more, and it's an amazing league, and I hope to be able to teach you guys all about it in the months to come.
We'll leave it with that, folks. Hail, hail to everyone out there. Get tuned into the J-League, but keep tuning into us. Thank you very much.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.